Roberto Colasso is an Italian scholar and director of a prestigious publishing house in Milan. He's written a new book called The Marriage of Cadmus and Harmony, which is his first book to be published in this country. Critic John Leonard has this review.
Who'd have imagined that an Italian literary critic, just for the joy of it, would rethink and retell the Greek myths from the point of view of the heroes, who were, of course, invariably the children of mortal beings and Olympian gods, up to and including the last time these mortals and these gods sat down to dinner together at the marriage of Cadmus and Harmony, after which there was so much grief and no way to write home about it that Cadmus gave us the alphabet, making possible so many libraries full of poems and history. Roberto Colasso is as lyrical as the Roman poet Ovid, whose Metamorphoses on the same subject caused him to be banished for life by the Emperor Augustus. He's a lot more comfortable than Sir James Fraser was in The Golden Bough about bisexuality. He's just as alert to dreadful intimations as was Robert Graves, whose White Goddess ransacked the same terrain in search of a worthy muse. By taking certain interpretive liberties with Homer, he is likely to offend admirers of Edith Hamilton and Gilbert Hyatt. And he chooses wholly to ignore recent historiography on Greek civilization. From Walter Burkert on the one hand, who suggests strong Near Eastern influences, to Martin Bernal on the other, whose Black Athena argues the case for Semitic and African roots. But Colasso is looking through his own telescope at constellations of the dreamy mind. The thing about the gods is that they cared, at least at the start, more about perfection than they did about power. They were the first aesthetes. All this fell apart at the dinner table. Guilt, you'll be interested to know, originates in eating, which is something the gods never did, preferring ambrosia, until men introduced the idea of animal sacrifice, probably because Prometheus was up to one of his tricks. Ever after, abduction and rape were not only what gods did to mortals, but also the principal form of East-West cultural exchange in the ancient world, with its Europas and Io's, bulls and cows, Medea and Argonauts, poor Helen, stolen first by Theseus and later on by Paris of Troy, Ariadne and Argos and Naxos, Persephone in the underworld, and so on. Dionysus got them drunk before he raped them, though his first love had been a boy. His phallus, we are told, was hallucinogenic, like a fungus. I'm not making any of this up. Nor, of course, was incest unknown to Zeus and his sister, Hera. We're reminded that the family values of the House of Atreus included incest, infanticide, parricide, matricide, cannibalism, and other gaudy dysfunctions. Helen was in trouble from the get-go, from an Asia Minor mother with a name like Nemesis. Sparta, choosing power over perfection, appears to have been the prototype for Nazi Germany and Stalinist Russia. And Cadmus? Well, his sister was Europa, now the queen of Crete, and his wife was Harmony, now an old snake. If another king from Egypt, Danaus, with his 50 bloodthirsty daughters, had brought to Greece the gift of water, Cadmus had something else in his saddlebags. With vowels and consonants yoked together in tiny signs, Cadmus gave to Greece nothing less than the etched model of a silence that speaks. To the gods, ever since, like Colasso in this skylark of a book, we've been talking back.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Marriage of Cadmus and Harmony by Roberto Colasso and translated by Tim Parks.